to Women in Public Safety Podcast, where real life meets raw truth. I'm your host, Harriet Westmore. I'm a state parole officer dedicated to unraveling human complexities through true life cases, what we will call case chronicles. Join me weekly as we explore gripping narratives from the front lines of law enforcement and social services, from triumph to despair. We will uncover human resilience, vulnerability, and lastly, of course, justice. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on social media for the latest episodes and to join in the movement for change. Hey, everybody. This is Harriet Westmore for Women in Public Safety Podcast. This is the podcast where we discuss challenges and triumphs for women who work in public safety, which is law enforcement, corrections, human and health services, medical, health care, and anybody who serves the public. All right. I'm your host, Harriet Westmore, and I want to thank you for joining me. And I want you to hit that like, share, and subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. And today I'm going to discuss a case chronicle. This is case chronicle number 2 for the month of April. And I wanted to discuss, it's something similar to what I've discussed before, was pertaining to offenders and what we as first responders have to deal with, and that is drug addiction. But I wanted to tell a particular truth case study, one of an offender from one of my colleagues. And I want to give shout out to my colleague who, you know, was gracious enough to allow me to share her experience with this particular offender. This is kind of going in relations to when you are an addict and that everything around you pretty much go haywire. Don't care about everything else but to just chasing that high, that addiction. So I'm going to talk about this particular individual who was on my partner's caseload. He was a stone cold addict. I think his drug of choice was heroin with fentanyl. And as we know, fentanyl is one of the deadliest, if not the deadliest drug, you know, that's out there today that we are all dealing with. Well, this particular offender got out of prison for drug and he was released to his parents' house. Now, by the way, his parents had lost another son to a drug overdose. So they were trying to do their best with whatever parent, you know, all parents would do, is try to help their child to overcome and to get past this addiction. Well, it got so bad to where he went right back to the shooting heroin. And then you start lacing it with fentanyl. And, you know, it got so bad to where his parents couldn't do anything else with him. They couldn't, they did all what they could to help him, and he just didn't want to get help. And they got out of the house. Well, he ended up with a girlfriend who was also an addict, which is very typical. If you are an addict, you kind of, you know, attach yourself to people who are doing the same thing you are. Not always, but in some form or fashion, you know, that sometimes is, most of the time, is the case. Not always, but a lot of times. He decided to move in with his girlfriend. The girlfriend had two girls, young girls. They were school age. And the house itself, because they were both addicts, the house, the environment was atrocious, and that's probably putting it lightly. Anytime that the parole officer would go to make a home visit, it was like going into like a mine of filth. Filth as in feces, because they had a pet, they had dog crap all over the place. Dishes was in the sink for God knows how many days. Food everywhere. There was clothes piled up all the way up to the ceiling. And you can't tell which was clean or not. And these young girls had to live in this filth. So, of course, you know, there's a suspect that he was not complying with the terms of his condition of going through the substance abuse programming or anything. I mean, you know, they did all day in and day night was just get high. And these kids were in the mix of all this. So the PO and other colleagues, they had a suspicion that they were doing more than just using, they were also dealing. So they did a surprise search, came to the house and searched. And what they found, bags of needles, just drugs, and I think it was meth that was a part of that they found in, you know, heroin and everything. So obviously both the female, she wasn't on probation or anything at that time, but she was arrested along with my colleague's offender. And, you know, of course, Children's Service got involved and removed the children from the home. They called a relative, I believe it was the children's grandmother, maternal grandmother. The maternal grandmother came and got the girls. The mom had to go to court. And of course, the PO was supposed to be called to testify, but it was so bad to where the caseworker, the social worker from Children's Services called the PO and said, there's no point. You don't have to come. I mean, there's enough evidence. You don't even have to come to testify. There's enough evidence to convict her. So not only was she convicted, she had her children taken away, which is, again, it's not unusual when you live that type of lifestyle. You put everything aside. Being a mother, especially I'm talking from a female standpoint, you put your children at risk and you put your kids aside in order to get high and indulge in drugs. Well, the mother was, like I said, her kids were permanently taken away from her, and she called PO and was pretty upset with the PO, pretty much cussing the PO out for having her kids taken away. Which goes back to the illogic of, you know, you're blaming a PO for something that you caused. It goes back to the distorted mindset of when you are on drugs, that it's everybody else's fault. Instead of you taking accountability, you've had your children taken away because of the life and the environment that you created for those girls. And not to mention the dangerous situation it could have been. It's already bad enough that you had them live in filth. They weren't taken care of as far as basic needs of food and proper clothing. But you have the nerve to be mad at law enforcement or social service agency because you failed as a mother. This is this type of stories, and this is the type of things that we as first responders, whether it's law enforcement, healthcare providers, social workers, human services agencies, that we deal with all the time. So whatever happened to them, we don't know. The PO was transferred to another area. Offender that she was supervising, he went back to prison. But from her telling me this, she said that was one of the worst cases of neglect and drug addiction that she had encountered over her career. And, you know, quite frankly, she wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being dead, just like his older brother. So you have a parent that, hopefully that's not the case, but, you know, if it did happen, it wouldn't have been a surprise. So it's one of those things that we encounter on a daily basis. And, you know, and I guess the case in point is, won't receive the help that you need until you want the help. He did time in prison and came right back out and went right back into the routine of what got him into prison in the first place. And not only that he didn't change his surroundings of people, places, and things, which is very important if you're trying to stay sober and clean, you know. And then as a woman, just on for the female side, you know, you're a mother, but your main focus, because you're so addicted to this, you know, a substance, to where you neglect your children, and your children has to suffer. But, I mean, one of the main things is not taking accountability of what your actions. When you do particularly hit rock bottom, which in her case, you know, she lost her kids. So I think from what I understand, I think the father of the kids had gotten custody of them. So, you know, we can only hope that the girls lived a better life, was, you know, that things was better for them. I would hate for it to be, you know, they went from bad to worse or the same. Hope everything turned out better for them. But this is one of the type of drug cases and drug addiction that we go through, that we have to endure as first responders. And, you know, people live in filth just to get that. They don't care about that. All they care about is chasing that next high and getting that next fix. It is it's a sad situation. And I'm sure plenty of you out here know or have experienced or have family members, unfortunately, that are going through that. But that is today's case chronicles. Again, if you have any stories or any, I would love your feedback, or put it in the chat. If you have a story or a case study that you would like to talk about, please, you can reach me at publicsafetybywomen@gmail.com and let me know your story. And I want to hear your feedback and what you have to, what's your particular standout story that stuck with you in your career. All right, that's it. I want everybody to be safe, and please keep looking ahead instead of looking backwards. All right, I will talk with you next time.